Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Friday to you, everybody. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. It is a Target Demo Friday. One of the themes of the week has been whether that squirrel had gas or he, quote, barked in my backyard the other day. And so that is the theme of the meme today. That nasty squirrel doing nasty things in my backyard. When you see it, let us know where you are, how you're listening, and if you've ever heard a squirrel bark. That doesn't sound like a bark to me. It sounds like gas. And I'll read through those coming up here next hour on the show. Target Demo Friday on both Facebook and on Twitter. On Twitter, DA on CBS. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/TheDAShow. If you do follow me on Twitter or you follow any of the show crew here on Twitter or CBS Sports Radio, by now it's come across your timeline. Mraz's meltdown in hour number one over the Giants collapse last night. If you went to bed, the Giants held a 21-10 lead with 5 minutes to play last night in Philadelphia. They had not beaten the Eagles in a number of years since 2013. And they gave up the ghost. Back-to-back touchdown drives by the Eagles, including a touchdown to take the lead and win the game with under a minute to play by the Eagles and Carson Wentz. And then also a drop by Evan Engram, the tight end of the Giants, on a third down play with just over 2 minutes to play. Could have iced the game or at least set up the Giants with a field goal attempt to extend their lead. But instead, he drops it. And Mraz is wearing a bag over his head all show long this morning. So to hear his rant, go on Twitter. You'll be able to see it there. Also, we'll delve back into this game coming up next hour with Adam Lefko from the Lefko Show. He's going to join us to talk about the NFL coming up about an hour from now.
I'm not. 3 hours sleep. I can't do it anymore with these Giant Eagle primetime games. I refuse.
The video has been retweeted a bazillion times, including by one person who goes by Not Ashton Kutcher. So Mraz has been retweeted his meltdown by somebody named Not Ashton Kutcher. No word on whether Ashton Kutcher, the real one, actually has watched it yet.
Huh. Guess we got punked.
I refuse.
I refuse.
One of our listeners, Susumu, tweets, I'm bummed out that by the time the Giants face the Seahawks this season, Mraz will feel nothing for them and for the rest of the year. He might be wearing a giant Bloomingdale big brown bag as a costume by the time we get to week 13.
Before we go to Seahawks in week 13, that should be fun.
Mraz refuses to watch that game.
I refuse. I
refuse. Ralph tweets, can you please post a picture of fat Leatherface Mraz under a bag? Now, that's not nice.
Yeah, fat Leatherface? That's about as mean a thing as you could say on a Friday. We're supposed to be uplifting here.
Charles tweets, tell the bag man to just be happy we have football to watch and next time to double bag it.
Oh, so now I should be happy Evan Engram dropped the pass because football's here and we should just be thankful it's on. What, are you kidding me? If it's on, can we at least win a game? I am thankful football's here. Catch a pass.
Michael tweets, so now the New Jersey football teams have the butt fumble and Daniel Jones falling down like a newborn baby learning to walk.
That's not the same. Not the butt fumble. That is not the same thing at all. And you know that, Damon. You know that's not the butt fumble. He scored a touchdown right after that. Butt fumble was Thanksgiving night. A quarterback ran into an ass. This guy just had the turf monster come. It's not the same thing.
It's always quite entertaining when you call me by my full name.
Sometimes you need to be addressed as such reading that tweet. You know it's not the butt fumble. The idea that we're going to call it the same thing. A man ran into an ass once in an NFL game. How is that the same as a guy falling down in the open field?
Well, and the ass caused a fumble.
Right. Think about that. They say the ground can't cause a fumble. A cheek caused a fumble. That's not Daniel Jones falling down. Have a little perspective.
Daniel Jones, for those that don't know, wide open, an 80-yard quarterback keeper. He was about 70 yards downfield, wide open space in front of him to score a touchdown, and just fell down. Just flat fell down. And it's interesting because last night we actually have audio that was recorded from Mraz's living room last night during this game. This was posted on his Instagram stories and captured by the Gremlins behind the scenes last night. This is how it sounded last night when the Giants held a lead late.
We're back! Back in the New York room!
How'd that end?
I thought I deleted those videos.
We're back! Back in the New York... Oh no, Daniel Jones just fell down.
We're back! Back in the New York room!
We're back! Back in the New York... Oh God, Evan Engram just dropped that pass. Oh. I refuse.
We'll remember the name Evan Engram for the rest of our lives.
By the way, you were raising a beer there, so how many did you have last night?
I only had two. I wanted to take the edge off. It was a happy beer. I had a big strawberry dragon fruit refresher from Dunkin', and I had some water. And then, Dancing Dave's putting down a 12-pack. What am I supposed to do, not have a couple with him? So I had two beers, and we thought we were winning the game. You can hear my voice is fine. This ain't the Cowboy game. I'm good to go here.
No, your voice is breaking up because you're crying.
Right, exactly. I'm emotionally drained. It has nothing to do with alcohol consumption. I'm fine. I'm back in the New York groove.
We're back! Back in the New York groove!
Catch the ball! That is the swing. That is the turn of events.
We're back! Back in the New York groove!
5 minutes left! Catch the ball! Now here we are! 1-6!
I refuse.
Elsewhere in the NFC East, we have Washington versus Dallas. And for the Cowboys, look out! The Eagles just notched their second win of the season, so now the Cowboys need to keep pace and get their third win of the season over a dreadful Washington team. But you thought Mike McCarthy was the coach in this spot that was under the most fire. That's not necessarily true. Well, Mike McCarthy has clearly been a problem. His coaching staff is a problem. The Cowboys are a problem. Ron Rivera is catching flack as well right now in D.C. Coming into the season, Rivera said he was going to be patient, that this was about a growth season, and that they wanted to develop Dwayne Haskins as a starting quarterback. And yet, after less than a month of the season, he yanked Dwayne Haskins to go to Kyle Allen. So people are wondering, well, wait a second. Why exactly are you going back on saying this is a growth season and that you were going to be patient? Also, Ron Rivera has been very aggressive at times this season, going for it on fourth down a number of times and trying to win the game last week against the Giants with a two-point conversion in the waning seconds instead of kicking the extra point and playing for overtime. So why sometimes is he super aggressive, but in other times he's punted away in opponent's territory in the fourth quarter? Well, Ron Rivera has said, well, that's because we were down big in those games. We don't want to have any injuries happen. We didn't have a preseason. But at other times saying we always try to win the football game. I'm here to try to win. So people are noticing there's inconsistency with Ron Rivera. If you look at this coaching matchup right now, who's on the hotter seat? Who's got more heat on them? It's definitely Mike McCarthy. I think it's very possible McCarthy is one and done. I don't think it's possible that Ron Rivera is one and done. I do think that Dan Snyder is trying to run a kinder, gentler organization. And thus, I don't know if Dan Snyder has actually authentically come to some realization in his life that he's been terrible at his job and been a tyrant and been a bully and been short-sighted and an egomaniac. I don't know. I doubt it. It's hard for me to imagine somebody that's gone 50-some-odd years or 60-some-odd years of their life doing it that way suddenly reverses course and has some enlightenment. But it is very obvious Dan Snyder has changed the name of his team. He has employed a lot of people around the organization that are non-traditional candidates. He's tried to at least allow people to do their jobs and be more supportive in the community. They've tried to rebrand the whole thing and give Ron Rivera control. So no matter how inconsistent Rivera has been, and he has been inconsistent at times this season, Ron Rivera is going to come back next year no matter what. No matter what. I don't think that's the case with Mike McCarthy. And I also don't think that Ron Rivera looks as bad as Mike McCarthy. We knew Washington was going to be bad coming into the season. And by a game-by-game, day-by-day timeline, yeah, Ron Rivera's decisions can feel inconsistent. For Mike McCarthy, here's the problem. This is it in a nutshell. What does he do? He doesn't call the plays. Kellen Moore calls the plays. He doesn't coordinate the defense. Mike Nolan coordinates the defense. So what exactly is Mike McCarthy doing when you have players saying, our coaches are bad teachers? Our coaches are bad at their jobs. We're unprepared. We don't adjust. What does it tell you about his locker room that Mike McCarthy is getting dumped on and yet he doesn't coordinate either the offense or the defense? I think right now is such a crucial week for the Cowboys. If they lose to Ron Rivera, if they lose to Washington, people are going to set Mike McCarthy on fire in that media and in that town over the course of the next 7 to 10 days. It's going to be an absolute fireworks fest, and understandably so. And I didn't think there was a way that McCarthy could get fired after just one season, after they did the whole stepbrothers thing, him and Jerry Jones. Did we just become best friends? But I think it's absolutely in play if they end up at 5-11, 4-12. I think that's in play. And if they lose this week to Washington, how is 4-12 not in play? This is suddenly a huge game for Mike McCarthy. What do you do? Your team's defense is historically bad. Of course, the injuries have beset your offensive line, but your star running back can't stop coughing up the football. You make mistakes continuously, and you look completely unprepared to take on the better teams that you have played. You are thankful to have had a Dan Quinn implosion and onside kick in getting that win, and you are thankful that the NFL officials called back 2 touchdowns by the Giants based on penalties in that win over New York. Those are your 2 W's. If you lose to Washington, getting fired is on the table. Not only after the season, mid-season. You can't lose to Washington. As bad as Ron Rivera's coaching decisions have seemingly been, It's not as bad as Mike McCarthy. And if Mike McCarthy loses on Sunday, look out. Look out. Mraz, do you think it's possible that Washington pulls the upset?
I think it's absolutely possible. I mean, how could you? Everything we've seen from the Cowboys, they're not punishing anybody. They just got obliterated. They're on a short week. Now, Kyle Allen stinks, and I understand all that, but the Cowboys' offensive line problems are enormous. And the one thing that Washington does, whether it's Ryan Kerrigan or Montez Sweat, is push the envelope with bad offensive lines and get to you. The biggest weakness on offense for the Cowboys right now is playing right into Washington's only strength. They absolutely can. And the whole key to this game for Dallas is going to be when you have the ball, you can't turn it over. Zeke's got to stop the fumbling. I don't know what's gotten into him with the fumbling. And Andy Dalton can't be throwing interceptions and looking completely lost out there. Dallas has to find a way to play a time possession game here. Let Zeke grind it away. Do not be turning the ball over. And keep that defense off the field as much as possible. Because Kyle Allen stinks. But look, anybody and everybody right now is going over the top on that Cowboys secondary. So keep Washington off the field offensively and play a time possession game and don't turn the ball over.
Cowboys have to be okay winning this game ugly. They have to be okay winning this game 16-7, 20-12. You have to be okay with that because you just need a W to feel better about yourself. In the craziest line of the season, this is essentially a pick'em. Cowboys-Washington is essentially a pick'em. Right now it's a Cowboys by one line. I mean, did you ever think you'd see the day this season where the Cowboys are basically a pick'em game against Kyle Allen?
Incredible.
But that is the reality. The injuries have beset the Cowboys. They're playing terrible defense. They look unprepared. They were outclassed against Arizona. Cowboys fans are crying in the stands. They are a pick'em game against Washington, who could be a 3-win team this season. Oy. When we come back, we are stunned to a news. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. This is the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
Look at my fat face on Twitch. I am an idiot, I overreact, and I make a lot of mistakes. And you love the show anyway, you hate me, you love me.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's going to keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. That is spooky. It's a Target Demo Friday, so let us know where you are, how you're listening, and what you're doing. And I'll read through those coming up here next hour on the show. Again, Target Demo Friday on both Twitter and on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Travis in Houston, DA, I feel like at this point it's time to add the Giants to the list, along with the Yankees of teams suffering from the curse of the Hambino. Mraz knows what he needs to do to end the curse. Hashtag zap zap. Rob of the 321 tweets, DA, can Mraz ease up a little bit on the crying? At least he has seen his team win two Super Bowls versus the greatest dynasty ever. What have I gotten as a Lions fan, a team that drafted four first-round wide receivers in the first 0-16 season? I'd do anything for a trip to the Super Bowl. Hashtag relax, buddy.
Boo freaking who?
Care to respond, Mraz?
I'm so sick of being told I can't complain about a team that's won in my life because somebody else's team hasn't won. Give me a break, all right? The worst record cumulative in the NFL the last 4 years is the Giants. I think I've earned the right to complain when every year we lose these games in heartbreaking fashion and have no shot. And then the NFL keeps putting us in primetime against the Eagles, and we lose, and we never beat them, all right? We have rivals. Enough. I understand. I'm sorry. You play on Thanksgiving every year. Enjoy your turkey. Enjoy your bad coaching over there in Detroit. I feel very bad for you. I root for you. But don't tell me I can't complain when I've seen garbage for 4 years because you've seen other garbage. Stop it.
Well, you've seen garbage for longer than that. The Giants have missed the playoffs 8 out of the last 9 years, and this will be 9 out of the last 10 years.
Right. So because I've had a couple parades that now I can't complain when the team stinks, of course I can. I'm not giving back the Super Bowls, but I'm not going to not complain the rest of my life. I mean, at some point, the luster wears off. I hate to break it to you.
One of the burrs in your saddle, DJ Tommy D, just tweeted.
This freaking guy.
I'm going to see if Bob the Deli Man will give out paper bags to all the Giants fans this morning. Ironic, Twix are on sale starting this morning. Let's go.
Enough. The last guy anybody needs to hear from after a Giant Eagle game is DJ Tommy D. Do your food shopping, go home, sit home, do whatever you got to do the rest of the day, and leave Bob alone on his freaking birthday with the stupid Giant loss. He's got enough to deal with, too. You think what I'm going through? He had to wake up and drive to Bay Ridge this morning to deal with him. That's a tough day.
Well, and this is a terrible birthday present for your dad. Bob the Deli Man has to wake up on his 60th birthday and deal with that collapse last night.
Yeah, it's brutal. I feel bad for the man. But you know what? He put us all through it, right? He put us all through it. We have to live because he raised us to be Giant fans to deal with these kind of losses. But apparently, we're not even allowed to complain about him because we've seen Super Bowls. I had it. Stupid comparison.
Ralph tweets, new Giants rallying cry. Catch the ball! I refuse.
Catch the ball!
Catch the ball!
I can't do it anymore. I refuse.
I refuse.
I mean, you're paid to catch the ball. Catch the ball when it's thrown in your hands. You end the game.
Andrew Bogish is our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning. So Sean can't believe it, and neither can Eagles QB Carson Wentz.
I was pretty surprised we pulled it off. Obviously, there was a lot of emotions there. It was kind of a big, exciting moment, but a big kind of sigh of relief because we know we left a lot of plays out there. But the way we battled and found a way at the end of the game was huge for us.
Here's specifically what they did to surprise Carson Wentz. The Eagles falling behind 21-10 midway through the fourth quarter of Thursday Night Football. But then Wentz threw a short TD pass to Greg Ward. Evan Ingram dropped a third down pass, preventing the Giants from at least extending their lead to 8. And then Wentz did this.
Wentz is back. He's looking, still looking. He starts to go. He is firing. Scott! Touchdown! Boston Scott!
What a catch.
Quarter at the goal line and went in.
Merrill Reese on Eagles radio. That
just
came with 40 seconds
it.
To go.
We know what happened.
Sack.
Stop playing it. A
well,
5'6" running back made a catch like he was Odell Beckham Jr. Stop it. And Carson Wentz is shocked this happened? I don't know, Carson. Have you watched any Giant Eagle game ever? What do you mean you're shocked?
Well, our radio audience does turn over consistently. So if they're just waking up, maybe they didn't know what happened at the end of last night's game. It did end pretty late.
Yeah.
Fair. All right. You know what? I'm going to recuse. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's not about me. It's about you guys, the listeners. So if you just heard that, I hope you enjoyed it.
I refuse.
To listen
to Carson Wentz.
Carson
you know, Wentz, I got to say, I've taken some shots at Carson Wentz over the course of the season. He looked pretty good in the second half last night.
Yeah. And you know what? I kept thinking to myself, too. Every time that Greg Ward made a catch, he was the number one wide receiver on the San Antonio Commanders, and I keep saying to myself, what happened to the Alliance? The Alliance has produced now a receiver who's killing the Giants with the Philadelphia Eagles. This guy was a star in the Alliance, and you're telling me the Alliance couldn't have lasted. I mean, can we figure out the budget, please? Look at the
Rock,
star we produced.
The Rock is going to bring back the XFL.
Great. I'm always going to be loyal. San Antonio Commanders, Greg Ward, unbelievable. Now he's burning the Giants on Thursday Night Football. What comes around goes around.
You know, Carson Wentz is such a weird quarterback because you have first half Carson Wentz where he can't just take a sack. He can't just throw it away. He's got to scramble a million times and then basically throw into triple coverage. And then in the second half, in those final two drives, he's throwing darts all over the place. And the throw to Boston Scott's a great throw. It's not a good throw. It's a great throw to win the game. So, you know, there's a good Carson Wentz and there's a bad Carson Wentz. And he had a good Carson Wentz second half last week in the attempted comeback. And last night had a good second half. There is a Carson Wentz in there that, you know, if he could just straighten it out a little bit, will be a very good quarterback again.
I agree. Hey, look, you give Carson Wentz playing the Giants 16 games a year. You're talking about an MVP candidate all the time.
Can you believe this Philly team lost to Washington in week 1? What a disgrace.
What a disgrace. Absolute disgrace. But Wentz is going to... I told you what happens. They beat the Giants in primetime. They go on a roll. The Eagles are winning the division. If you can make any money on that now, they will win the division. No doubt.
Yeah, that's right. There's no way the Cowboys are winning this division with how trash their defense is right now. I mean, if they could figure out the defense, but... I said the Cowboys were going to win the division 2 weeks ago, but the offensive line injuries are now just devastating for them. And Andy Dalton behind that offensive line, woof.
Puke.
So just in case, the Eagles, it was a 22-21 final last night for them. They've now taken 8 in a row from the Giants. Big Blue hasn't won in Philly since 2013, back when Sean was the exact same person. That Bengals tie looking pretty good this morning because the 2-4-1 Eagles are in first place, as we just mentioned, in the NFC East. Sunday Night Football is now Cardinals-Seahawks. The NFL moving Raiders-Bucks to the afternoon because of Vegas' COVID issues. This way we have a Sunday night game for sure. The Raiders have right tackle Trent Brown with COVID-19, plus the rest of the starting O-line and safety Jonathan Abram out through Saturday because of contact tracing. Vegas is also under investigation for Brown not wearing his COVID tracking monitor enough and that O-line spending time together without masks. Not only are the Vikings dealing away Yannick Ngakoue to the Ravens, they're also losing fellow D-lineman Danielle Hunter for the season to neck surgery. When Hunter was first hurt in training camp, it was called a tweak, and he was expected to be back by now. Big Ten football is back as of 7 Central this evening. Number 14, Wisconsin hosting Illinois. The big ones tomorrow as Rutgers travels to Michigan State. The Big Ten saying last night that any game canceled because of COVID won't be made up is a no contest. Teams must play 6 of 8 games to be eligible for the conference title game. The NBA draft next month will be virtual. We'll get Adam Silver revealing the picks from ESPN Studios in Connecticut. And Khabib Nurmagomedov and Justin Gaethje made weight today in Abu Dhabi for their UFC lightweight title unification bout. That's the main event for tomorrow's card on Fight Island. And now, one last time this week, boys, let's get stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA, you'd think something like this would happen to you or me. Our lives are so good. We're so blessed. We just sit around all day eating kale and acai and winning the same lottery twice. Andrew Burke lives near Edmonton. Last month, he won $5 million Canadian dollars in the lotto. It's about $3.8 million U.S. But Burke got 2 separate checks for $2.5 million. Because he picked the same numbers twice.
Wow.
I don't know why he walked into a gas station and said, you know, give me 5, 6, 8 times 2. But he did. So he technically won the lottery with himself, splitting the $5 million purse. So there's a picture that I share with the group of him and his wife. And it's up at watchda.com. Him and his wife holding 2 separate checks because he was a weird double winner of the same lotto.
I hope that these are 2 different purchases because I could definitely see forgetting the number that you played the first time around. As you said, the bad thing would be give me 2 tickets of the same numbers. That'd be silly. But if you went in on a Tuesday, played the numbers, went back in on a Wednesday, forgot that you played those numbers and played them again, that's understandable, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that would make sense because I've been there. I've bought tickets. If you ask for the same thing twice, the guy punching in the numbers would definitely raise an eyebrow or two at you. So that probably is the most likely scenario here, that he just forgot that he did it once and bought maybe the same lucky number again. But how about that? A good day to do it.
I'm also going to say this is the perfect amount to win. Okay? I'm not one of these guys that need to win Powerball. I never play Powerball. I really never play the lottery either. But Powerball's like, what, $300 million, $400 million, $600 million? That's too much. You don't need that much money. That is too crazy, and that's when all the fangs come out, and you've got to hide all of your money. You can't tell anybody that you won the money. You've got to hide from your family. It's too much. If you just win $5 million, basically, I think that's the take-home of like $2 million or so, because I think they take more than 50% of it at taxes. You know, that's great. To me, you win the $5 million Powerball or $5 million, whatever this is, the $649, and you take home $2.5, and then your family comes out of the woodwork, your friends, you're like, I didn't win that much money. But if you win $2 million. It's great for your life. He says he wants to pay off his mortgage, do some renovations. You can do all that with the $2 million. You're good, but it's not greedy, and you don't have to share it with anybody.
Yeah, but DA, with $300 million, you could quit your job. You're still working with $2 million. Wouldn't you love to quit, go travel the world, do whatever you want, create a spring football league? You could do a lot with $300 million.
With $2 million, I'd have to look at what your return is, but if you invest $2 million properly, you probably don't have to work. I think you're pretty good.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Why are all these NFL players and baseball players, when they get out of it, they always got to work at some kind of broker firm or something?
Yeah, because they need 3 sports cars, and they need 4 houses, and they need to take trips with their chicks to, you know,
gotta feed the
Turks
tiger.
And Caicos and stuff like that.
So
and they've
you
got,
win, you win
they've got a
million.
Sister that's on the payroll. They've got a brother that's on the payroll. They got their, you know, their friend Sweeney from growing up, who's like their marketing manager. You know, they've got to pay a million people. So if you are just responsible with your cash and you win $2.5 million and invest it, you could probably live off the interest of that.
Yeah, but then guess what? You're driving a Toyota Camry and you're going to Myrtle Beach every summer in an RV. Like, I mean, you win the $300 million is whatever. You want to go to Tahiti, Aruba, Hawaii. You could go wherever you want. Keep traveling the world. I'm not going to Myrtle Beach with a Camry with $2 million. Come on.
I'm not greedy.
You're an angry gangster now, by the way. Aruba.
Aruba. Hey, Aruba. You go to Aruba.
Aruba, Bahama. Oh, my pretty mama.
I don't need to get greedy. How much have you guys ever won on Lotto?
Free play for the next time.
Okay. I think I won $3 or so, and I basically just bought another 3 cards or something like that.
Look, all I know is this. He's DA saying this now. If I ever won Lotto with $2 million and had to come back to work, he'd be wishing I won $300 million and I quit and you could get Connor Green in here. No doubt about it.
We're already greasing the skids for Connor to come in and take this job. AB, how much have you won in the lottery?
Maybe one time, like $20 on a scratch off, but that's the top end.
So none of us are regular players. Do you guys play Lotto a lot?
I only play when I see that the bounty's gotten very high and I jump in. I say, you never know. That's kind of what I do. When the jackpots are so mega, I get in.
Pete the Body, are you a Lotto player?
I play here and there. Nothing major, though, but a lot of scratch-offs.
Okay. Have you ever won anything significant?
$50.
Okay. And did you collect the $50?
No, I asked for 50 installments of $1. On that big check.
So how did you do that? Did you send that away or did you just bring that up to the cash register and the guy gives you $50?
I brought it up to the cash register. Guy gave me $50. I wasn't able to get the dollar.
So interesting, because when you win $5 million, obviously the guy at the cash register doesn't have that. So you've got to collect that from the Lotto organization, and that's when they tax the hell out of it. But for $50, do you not have to claim $50? I don't know how much you got to claim on that.
I think it's like $600 you got to claim.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. I can see Pete with just a long string of scratch-offs, a bagel and a coffee, sitting on a bench somewhere, just cursing out the scratch cards as they give him nothing.
Friday night.
Pete's the kind of guy at the gas station that doesn't even leave the gas station by the time he's scratched them off. He's sitting there at the counter. Hold on, you can wait 1 second.
Don't loiter.
And he's ripping through. You know those people. That's exactly a Bilotti. Oh, come on. I only want a buck here.
And he's also using the penny out of the take a penny tray.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I'll take $60 worth of scratch offs and one Red Bull. I'm going to be here a while.
It's only $3,000 a week for life.
When we come back, it's David versus Goliath. Super Dave Friedman versus Mraz in the football picks. We'll see if Super Dave can get off the schneid. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's a spread. It's a line. It's Super Dave.
Well, I'm just never going to pass up an opportunity to chant, let's go, Peen. Mississippi is just the pinnacle of college football right now with Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach and Deion Sanders.
With your weekly college football picks.
I think about it because obviously on sale means you're getting a bargain, but I think I'd buy a racehorse first.
Thank you, Super Dave.
It's an Ask the Pros Day. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Good guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Super Dave still trying to claw his way back into things this week. He starts with a Mountain West game. Super Dave, first off, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm not wearing a paper bag over my head.
You are a huge apple fan. You love eating apples. This is apple harvest season. How many apples do you estimate you've eaten this fall?
I don't know, 500?
Now, some people might think that that's a joke, but that is not. You've probably eaten close to 500 apples this fall, right?
My wife and I regularly drive 2 hours west to Hendersonville, North Carolina, where they hold the North Carolina Apple Festival each year and buy bushels of apples, 30 and 40 and 50 pounds worth of apples.
And you keep them all in your fridge?
We now have two fridges. My wife bought me for my birthday a separate fridge just for the apples.
How long will your apple eating season go?
Well, it more or less goes all year, but once you get into the winter, you can't get a lot of fresh apples, so I depend on the type of apples that come off the trees the last and eat those throughout the winter. The orchards do a really good job of kind of flash freezing the ones that come off last so that you get something relatively fresh all winter.
What's your favorite brand of apple?
Well, my friends at Creisman Farms in Hendersonville have a Swiss gourmet apple, which is just that. It is gourmet and delicious.
Okay. What a wonderful entry point into this week's games. Air Force in San Jose State. The college football season can now begin because the Mountain West is back. Air Force is favored by 6.5, and you like the Falcons.
I really like the Falcons. They pasted Navy 40-7 on October 3rd. They're the only Mountain West team to play yet this year. At the exact same time, San Jose State was legally not able to practice in Santa Clara County. They had to travel over 300 miles and relocate to Humboldt State University. And the players complained about like the size of the portions of the food at their kind of quote-unquote camp. This is an Air Force team that's been practicing since August, and San Jose State has barely been on the field. San Jose State has a new quarterback after graduating a guy who set all sorts of records. And since these teams joined the conference together, Air Force is 3-0 against San Jose State with two blowouts.
So you're taking Air Force. Keep an eye on this. The Big Ten returns this week, but also the Mountain West returns this week. Now, Boise State, speak of the Mountain West, takes on Utah State, and Boise State's a big favorite. They're favored by 16 points, but that does not deter Super Dave. He still likes the Broncos.
Well, I love Hank Bachmeier, their sophomore quarterback. I think he's a guy that we're going to be talking about in a couple of years in the NFL. And Utah State had an NFL quarterback last year, Jordan Love, but they only went 7-6 with them. You remember the memorable loss 51-41 to Kent State in the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl. And Love's likely replacement decided to transfer. Utah State, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3. They're a little bit of a mess, whereas Boise State has that continuity. They're so good. 12-2 last year. They've won 16 out of 17 against Utah State. And I don't know, there was an NFL game last night, DA. I don't know if you paid any attention to it. The Eagles came from behind and beat the Giants. John Hightower, a Boise State alum, had a 59-yard grab for Philadelphia in the win.
I think I heard about that game, yeah.
Did you?
Tulane, UCF, the Green Wave are getting 20.5 points in Orlando. And remember, once upon a time, UCF said they won the national championship. Well, that feels like decades ago. You like Tulane plus the 20.5.
Yeah, I like Willie Fritz. I just think it's too many points. UCF has a phenomenal offense, but they have no defense at all. And Tulane is sort of similar. They've had a weird year. They're 2-3, but they just played an overtime game. They lost to SMU last Friday, so they have an extra day to prepare as well. I just think for UCF, who doesn't play a lot of defense, and they're kind of coming off an issue. I don't know if you saw the game. They put up 800 yards of offense against Memphis. They led 35-14, but they gave the game away. And then at the end of the game, they missed a field goal that would have won the game. They had players on the sideline, like, berating the kicker. They almost went to blows. It was ugly. And I just think you're getting three touchdowns. This was a close game when these teams played last year.
Yeah, and UCF being 500 at this point in time of the season's very unlike them. Losing back-to-back games, Tulsa, Memphis, very unlike them over the last couple of years.
They've been really, really good, but this year they're kind of lopsided and not really in sync.
And you've got a four-pack of picks this week. You're picking four games instead of the traditional three. So a bonus game here. We're going old-fashioned whack throwback. Fresno State in Hawaii, you love those West Coast whack-esque games. And in this one, you like the Bulldogs laying 3.5 against the Warriors.
Yeah, I really like Kellen DeBoer, the new coach of Fresno State. This is really what the pick is for me. I was a huge Jeff Tedford guy. He did an unbelievable job at both Cal and at Fresno State. He was at Indiana last year. Indiana had their best season in 25 years, winning 8 games, being the second best offense in the Big Ten. So he was gone from Fresno for 1 year. Now he's back there. Meanwhile, you've got a Hawaii team. They lost Coach Nick Rolovich to Washington State, and they brought in Todd Graham, who leads the league in frequent flyer miles because he keeps getting hired, but he's always looking over one shoulder for a new job. Rice, Tulsa, Pitt, Arizona State. The last 2 years, he was unemployed, and he's coming into Hawaii, new system, bunch of new players. Their defense stunk last year. It should stink again this year. Meanwhile, Fresno State, I think, has a lot more continuity. I really like DeBoer, and I think I think Fresno State will win a battle between two teams that have been playing each other every year since the early 90s.
Now, Super Dave is 7-10-1 on the season, but if he goes 4-0 this week and Mraz, who's at 12-6, takes an offer this weekend, they end up being only one game difference between the two. So that's how much is on the line this weekend. Thank you, Super Dave.
No problem. Might have to wear a bag over my head next week.
It's a plane!
Super Dave.
Super Dave taking shots at Mraz, wearing bags over his head today because of the Giants' collapse last night. He melted down in hour number one. That video is available on social media. We posted this on Twitter on both our CBS Sports Radio account. I tweeted it out as well. It's getting a lot of run as well. And today, Mraz, I think you're going to be defined on social media by crying underneath a brown paper bag. I don't know if that's where you wanted to be on this Friday morning.
Certainly not how I dialed it up when I was playing House of Pain jump around midway through the fourth quarter, DA. Not where I thought we'd be, but I'm going to take a nice nap later on and hopefully reset the weekend.
Your friend Foxy tweeted out a picture and sent it to us, you know, because without friends like those, who needs enemies? I mean, you have a lot of people in your social circle that want to take you down and embarrass you on the air. So Foxy sent me a picture of you with your head down on Bob's Bar, but you watched last night's game from home, right? So that's a picture of a different game?
That was actually the picture from the infamous Cowboys game where I woke up the next morning and had no voice.
Oh.
That was right after the Cowboys won. That was taken within moments of the final whistle.
Is your head on the table, on the bar table, because you're upset or because you're passed out after 27 drinks?
Oh, you saw the video and played the video of me doing the topic list. You know I wasn't passed out. That was me upset, me in disbelief. I can't believe here we are again losing to the Cowboys. How you think I'm passed out there and then I'm making videos doing EIEIO? No way.
Well, you can rebound. I mean, I've seen people take a little quick booze snooze and then wake up and you know, bounce back.
No boot and rally. That was pure disappointment, DA. My heart stomped on again every week.
So your heart gets stomped on by the Cowboys game, and then you build it right back up, and you go invest completely into last night's game. That's a you fault.
Because we never have meaningful October football. Yesterday was meaningful October football, and we had an 11-point lead, and we had a win if a doofus catches a pass.
One doofus, one pass, one catch, and you'd have meaningful football.
That actually should be the T-shirt I want for Christmas. One doofus, one pass, one catch, no meaningful football.
They are 1-6 now. Games against Tampa Bay.
On a Monday night. Whoops.
Seattle.
Oh.
Arizona.
Oh.
Baltimore.
Oh.
Cleveland.
Okay.
And then you get the division, Dallas, Philly, Washington.
Can't beat any of them anyway. Who cares?
This is a 1-15 or a 2-14, I'm thinking.
Oh.
When we come back, we'll talk more NFL going into this weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.